And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Thomas F. Eve, Sr.
But they also cover any area, recreation, or any other activity in our life. These are biblical principles that we should have before us when we are making a decision concerning any area of our life. Let's think then about Romans 13, beginning with verse 1, reading several verses following. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Wouldest thou have no fear of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. This passage of Scripture reminds me of another passage that's found in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25, when the prophet of old said, Till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God ordains the kingdoms, he ordains the powers that be, and he gives them into the hands of those whomsoever he will. Romans chapter 13, the Bible tells us that we are to be in subjection to those powers. We all realize, Acts 5 and verse 29, that when the powers of God are denied, contradicted by the powers of men, the words of the Apostle Peter, we must obey God rather than man. But as long as the laws of man are not in conflict with the laws of God, we are to be obedient unto them. Recently in Miami, Florida, there was a drug ring that was destroyed, which had been in operation for approximately 10 years. During that 10-year period, they had handled $79 million worth of marijuana. They had paid $150,000 in bribes to government officials and to police. They had murdered an informant. And, of course, they had been trafficking for these 10 years in drugs. Drugs are always associated with crime. Drugs foster crime. Just the other day, I was talking to Rick Smith, who is chief investigator for the Sheriff's Department in Putnam County, where Cookeville, Tennessee, is located. And he said, Thomas, I am convinced that 80% of all the burglaries that are committed in Putnam County are drug-related. And when he was using the term drug, he involved all drugs, which would include alcohol as well as the other drugs that we are familiar with. I know that if that is true of Putnam County, that it can be true of many more counties in the state of Tennessee. We know that it is against the law to traffic, for example, in marijuana. If you have less than a half ounce of marijuana, you can be sentenced to 11 months, 29 days in penitentiary or in jail and be fined $1,000. If you traffic in more than a half ounce and you are arrested with possession of marijuana for intent to sell, you can, maximum penalty, be put in prison for 5 years and fined up to $3,000. It's against the law to grow, to transport, to possess, to buy, to sell, to use in any way. The point I'm making is that an individual cannot be a faithful child of God and be active in the drug culture. Somebody said, well, since what harm will a nickel or dime bag of marijuana do? After all, it's for my own pleasure and I'm not going to hurt anybody else. Well, that nickel or dime bag of marijuana could have been part of the marijuana of this $79 million that was sold in this drug operation in Florida that cost a government informant his life and also the corruption in local government. You then become a participant not only in buying illegally the marijuana in your community, but also the crime that is related to it as far as its origin is concerned. We cannot be faithful children of God and violate the laws of the land. The second principle that I want to mention is also found in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning in verse 13. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Nearly every drug user and abuser that I've been able to talk with over the last 6 years that I've been working with the Putnam County Sheriff's Department in their drug education program, the reason that they used the drug simply was this. It made me feel good. I enjoyed the high. Man, it was out of this world, and terms or expressions similar to this. So the Christian is not in this world to fulfill the lust of the flesh, whether it be a legal drug or an illegal drug. The Christian is here to let his light shine before God, Matthew 5, verse 16. The Christian is up on this earth to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We are not here to fulfill the desires of the flesh and to be high or to feel good with or by the means of a chemical substance. The third principle is found in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul is talking about the works of the flesh. And he says, they that engage in these cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 20, he talks about idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, divisions, partings, and so on. But I want you to notice this word sorcery. In the King James, it is translated witchcraft. It comes from the Greek word pharmakia, the word from which we get our word pharmacy. They do not call them drugstores or pharmacies in the Orient. They call them chemist shops. So that gives you the idea, a mixer of drugs, one that is dealing with chemicals, one that is dealing with medicines. This word is defined by the Greek lexicons as the use of medicine or drugs, the use of drugs for magical purposes, for magic and for sorcery. This word describes the recreational use of drugs in our society today. When an individual is engaged in the drug traffic, the recreational use of drugs, he is violating this principle in God's book. The next principle is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me." Christ cannot live in us, brethren. Christ cannot live in us if we are disobedient to the laws of the land, if we are making provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we are intoxicated or inebriated with a chemical substance, or if we violate the other principles that are contained in the pages of God's book. You'll notice in Galatians 5 again, I believe it's along about verse 20, verse 19, 21. Envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know, if I tell you that I was on the way from the motel to the church building, the man crossed the road in front of me and he was drunk, first thing you think of is he had drunk too much alcohol. The Greek word that is used in this passage of Scripture, methae, describes an individual who is intoxicated, an individual who does not have control over his physical being, simply because his mind is clouded and is controlled by the drug alcohol. But you know, this word is not limited to simply intoxication by beverage alcohol. It also includes and embraces any other chemical substance that would cause an individual or result in an individual losing his ability to function as a normal human being. Therefore, when we're talking about drunkenness, we're talking about drunkenness not only by that which is produced by alcohol, but by an intoxication that could be produced by marijuana, or by cocaine, or by Valium, or by any other chemical substance. That drunkenness for a recreational purpose, a happy time to be under the influence of some chemical substance, violates the principle in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 and following. The next principle is found in the next book after Galatians, in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Young people, listen to me. When your parents tell you about the drug culture and about the effect of drugs and what the Word of God has to say about drugs, and they caution you and counsel you not to associate with a certain group because they are druggies or they are pushers, or not to go to a certain restaurant or not to go to a certain teen hangout because they know for a fact that drugs are being used there and being sold there. And you listen to their wise counsel, and then all of a sudden you, with your peer group one night, you decide, well, I'm going to go on and just see if that's what's going on. And so you frequent the place. It may be a drive-in, it may be a restaurant, it may be a recreational hall, or whatever you have in this particular part of the country. I want you to know that when you are disobedient to your parents, you have sinned against God. You've sinned against your parents and you've sinned against your God, and you cannot be a faithful child of God in that particular situation. Paul makes the same statement again in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, that children are to be obedient unto their parents. And then again in the book of Romans, when the Apostle Paul is there enumerating all of the sins of the Roman Empire, he's made the statement, he's talking about backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things. And right in the middle of all of these sins, he says, disobedient to parents. My brethren, it is no light thing for a child to be disobedient to their parents. Because when they do, they are sinning against their parents and they sin against the God of the universe. One cannot be a faithful Christian and be disobedient to his or her parents. The next principle is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. You remember in this passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is talking about the control of a situation, and he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the control of any. Nothing is to control the Christian save Christ Jesus. He is to dominate our lives. He is to be our master. He is to be the one that is in control of our lives, because the Christian is a servant of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said in Titus 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of God. Paul said further in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 that no man can serve two masters. He must be a one master individual. Thus, when we are in this situation, controlled by any substance, legal or illegal, we are in violation of the law of God. We cannot be controlled by food. We cannot be controlled by drink. We cannot be controlled by chemical. We cannot be controlled by habit. We cannot be controlled by anything or anyone outside of God Himself. You know, a lot of times I talk about this and people say, well, Brother East, what about this or what about that? It doesn't make any difference what it is. The Christian cannot be controlled save by God Himself. Or His Son, and I'm speaking of the same when I mention God and the Son. They must be controlled by God's Word, and that's all. They cannot be controlled by any substance or any power outside the God of the universe Himself. The next principle is found in 1 Corinthians 6 as well, beginning in verse 19. And Paul said, or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and ye are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, glorify God, therefore, in your body. Thus we understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is no higher estate that man can attain than being a temple in which the Holy Spirit of God resides. Therefore, we are not to do anything that would harm, anything that would hurt, anything that would destroy the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to use it to glorify God. We cannot harm it with anything. You know, when an individual goes to the doctor and the doctor says, well, I've diagnosed your situation and here's what I want to tell you. You've got to quit eating pork. If you keep on eating pork, you're going to die. and I want you to take this medication, and if you will do that, then your body will prosper, it'll be healthy, and you will be able to continue your life upon this earth. If I go home and tell my wife, well, the doctor said, I can't eat pork, and I've got to take this medication to be all right. And I tell her, I'm not going to do it. I want sausage for one breakfast one morning. I want bacon the next, and ham the next. I'm going to keep on eating. I am harming my body, destroying the temple in which the Holy Spirit resides. Brethren, it is a sin. It is a sin to destroy our health because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Something else, another principle, is found in the book of James. In the book of James, in the second chapter and the 8th verse, the inspired writer made this statement. Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. You know, the Bible teaches self-love. I'm the love Thomas E. Now, that does not mean an selfish, egotistical love, but it does mean that I am to love myself. I was created in the image of God. I am a son of God. I have value. I have a preacher friend of mine that often says that man is nothing more than a mud ball with a necktie. Well, I know what he means by that phrase. And maybe there is some truth in it when you consider it in the context in which he uses it. But I want to tell you something. Man is more than a mud ball with a necktie on. Man is created in the very image of God. He is important. And the Bible teaches that he is to love himself. Virgil, I told somebody not too long ago that one reason that we have a lot of folk who are not Christians today is that they don't love themselves. They don't even love themselves as much as God loved them. And one reason a lot of folk are in the church today and they are unfaithful in the kingdom of God is that they don't love themselves. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you explain to me how I can love myself while I'm bound to an eternal condemnation in hell. Well, that's not reasonable. Ain't no logic to that. Because if I love myself, I'm surely going to do everything that I possibly can to work for the exact best in my life, not only my earthly life, but my future life as well. Consequently, self-love. And certainly if I love myself, I'm not going to do anything in this life that's going to shorten it, or anything in this life that is going to be harmful for me. I'm going to take care of myself. And I'm going to use my body for the glory of Almighty God. The last principle, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I can't be a part of the drug culture. I cannot be a part of the drug scene and be well-pleasing unto God. Because my example is an example for ungodliness. Not an example for righteousness. These 10 principles, then, I would suggest to you that we must be obedient to as God's children, that we might walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, not only are these 10 biblical principles that I have given you, not only do they govern the Christian's use and abuse of drugs, but there's many other subjects that you can bring through these same principles to determine whether or not a child of God should engage therein. But let's use these 10 principles now and take what time we have left and talk about a couple of drugs. Two very popular drugs in our society. And I want to make mention of these, and we want to look at these drugs in view of the principles. Of course, the first principle is it against the law? Or is it for the purpose of fulfilling the lust of the flesh? And you've got the passages, and you can go right on down the list. Many times in talking to high school students and so forth, I ask them, what drug will kill more Americans this year than any other drug? You ever going to ask that question? What answer would you give? Someone volunteer for them if you don't mind. What drug will kill more Americans this year than any other drug? Alcohol. All right, that is an excellent answer. And usually among my high school and college students that I talk to, that's the answer that I get. And it's a good answer. But it's only one thing wrong. It's not correct. Anybody else? Virgil says tobacco. Let's make that tobacco products. Yes, that's right. 350,000 Americans will die this year from tobacco products because of the drug nicotine. Let me share just a few facts with you. The American Lung Association stated on February 22, 1987, that more Americans die each year from diseases caused by cigarette smoking than died in battle in Vietnam and World War II combined. The annual toll around 350,000. Vanderbilt University Medical Center stated on January 25, 1988, that smoking is linked to heart attacks and that it results in 325,000 premature deaths each year. Another medical report said lung cancer is largely a preventable disease. It is estimated that 83% of all the lung cancer could be avoided if individuals never took up smoking. I had a fellow ask me one time, he said, well, what does smoking really cost you? I said, here's what it costs you. A leading life insurance company report shows that the average life expectancy for a 32-year-old smoker is 72 years. For a man in the same measure of health who is non-smoker, the average lifespan estimated is 79 years. You take two 32-year-old men, according to the life insurance people, and I realize that that's not gospel, but it is a pretty good indicator because that's what you pay your premiums on. And we know that it is cheaper. Life insurance is cheaper for the non-smoker. But that's what it costs, about 7 years of life, because nicotine is a drug, and it is a very serious and a very powerful drug. A recent report indicates that smoking among teenagers is on the increase around the world. Not too long ago, there was a Pride survey across the South and up the Eastern Seaboard of 200,000 teenagers. The junior high, 22% of them were smoking. In the senior high, 35% were smoking. And the seniors, out of the senior class, 36% of them were smoking. Not only is tobacco products devastating as far as smoking is concerned, but also the damage from the smokeless tobacco. Now, I don't know how it is in Union City, but I can tell you one thing. In Cookeville, Tennessee, smokeless tobacco is almost the greatest thing since cornflakes to some people. And nearly everybody, boys and girls, are really overboard on this. The latest medical information that I have on smokeless tobacco is this, that if the present trend continues, in a couple of generations, in a generation or two, death by mouth cancer will exceed death by lung cancer. Now, people, we're talking about some pretty serious statistics. We're talking about some things that mamas and daddies need to be talking to their children about and pointing out that nicotine is a powerful drug, a devastating drug. These facts prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the use of tobacco products violates 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, the destruction of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tobacco use also violates 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, where the Bible says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. One individual said, well, smoking doesn't bother me. He said, I've been smoking all my life. He says, I can quit anytime I want to. He said, I quit 27 times last week. And while he was serious, I think the person of an average intelligence can recognize the fact that he was addicted and could not quit. Some tobacco users today deny that tobacco use is addicting. I have several newspaper articles. I know they appeared in your newspaper. Here is one that says nicotine declared to be addictive, nicotine as bad as heroin, and so on down the line. I know that this has been on national news. I know that you are aware of it. And yet, most of the time, when we think of drugs, an individual never thinks of nicotine or tobacco products as being a drug. But people, it is a drug. And it is a very destructive drug. And you know, it reminds me of the father that was sitting in his easy chair watching football on Saturday afternoon. He had a can of Budweiser beer in one hand and a big cigar in the other hand. He was there in his living room smoking and drinking his alcohol. And he told his young son, who was getting ready to go out on an outing, he said, "Now, I don't want you taking any drugs." Says, "If you do drugs and I find out about it," says, "I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life." Now, I don't know if that was, if he was truthful in that, if he would have beat him an inch of life, or it just simply meant he was going to punish him. But you know, that's highly inconsistent. He has drug alcohol in one hand, drug nicotine in the other, and threatening his son with life or death if he does drugs. Don't you know that young people can see through that? Do you not know that they are aware of the fact that the older generation is doing exactly what they want to do? Or as we used to say, the young people are doing their thing. They know that the adult world is doing their thing. We need to be examples for them. And how can you lead teenagers and young people into the proper way of life when you are not the example of a proper way of life? Now, brethren, I don't know. I haven't been here in 5 years. And I'm going to be gone Friday morning, Lord willing. But I'd say it if I preach for this congregation. If you have men in this congregation that stand outside and smoke on the sidewalk, I'd be ashamed. I'd get me a shuttle bus and I'd shuttle these down somewhere behind somebody's barn down here where the young people could not see them. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm simply trying to say, brethren, we live in a drug culture. Nicotine is a drug. And if you're going to use it, have the respect for your young people not to use it in front of them, especially in front of a place of worshiping God. It's serious. And it violates the principles of God's Word. The second drug that I want to mention, quarter after. I got 3 hours of material. But I'm going to cover what I can. I can't do that. The second drug that I want to mention, I've got three others that I'd like to say something about. Alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine. We won't have time to mention them. Tell you what we'll do, we'll deal with alcohol. I have a news article here that says, alcohol, the now preferred drug for youth. Thus we understand that alcohol is being used by a number of teenagers. In this same Pride survey, 200,000 teenagers, they found that 64% of the seniors were drinking beer, 66% were drinking wine coolers, and 54% were drinking liquor. Among high school students, 58% were drinking beer, 56% were drinking wine coolers, and 46% were drinking liquor. That's out of 200,000 high school students. Now let's just stop for a moment. 64% of 200,000 students were drinking wine coolers. Well, that's about 125,000 students out of 200,000 who were drinking wine coolers. Wine coolers are very popular in our part of the country. I was in Warren County Friday with two drug presentations for the middle schools there. And I was asked the question, well, what about wine cooler? The only way I can compare that is by comparing it to a 12-ounce can of beer. A 12-ounce can of beer is 3.5% alcohol. A 12-ounce wine cooler is 3% alcohol. There's only 0.5% difference between the can of beer and the wine cooler. That's the White Mountain wine coolers that I'm talking about now. In an ounce and a half of 80-proof Jim Beam whiskey, there is the same amount of alcohol as there is in a 12-ounce can of Budweiser beer, which means that a 12-ounce wine cooler has almost about 0.5% less, the same amount of technically ethanol, but we call it alcohol, as an ounce and a half or a shot glass of whiskey. And our teenagers feel like because it's a fruit drink, because it's a wine cooler, that it's all right to drink it. And yet it is an alcoholic beverage. Many people ask me, what about our drug alcohol problem? Brethren, we do not have a drug alcohol problem in our country. We have a drug problem because alcohol is a drug, a very devastating drug. Listen to this. 90% of all the cases of child abuse involving physical harm or sexual molestation involve a drinking family member. 77% of all sexual violence is alcohol related. 70% of all family violence is alcohol related. Yesterday, 14 teenagers died in automobile accidents attributed to alcohol, and 360 were hospitalized because of automobile accidents caused by alcohol. The same thing will happen today, tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, the next day, and every day of this year. For a long time, I've been saving newspaper ads. And one of the pleas that I make to the young people when I talk to them about drugs is use the mind that God gave you. Look at the evidence. Listen. Read the newspaper. I'm sure that you're all familiar with this. This was on national news. Driver is charged with 27 counts of murder. You remember when the young man entered the freeway in the state of Kentucky? Going the wrong way, hit the school bus, it burst into flames, and it killed 27 individuals caused by alcohol. Youth killed, 3 others hurt in automobile wrecks. DUI charges filed in 2 fatal wrecks. I Work, the first one that's referred to in here. I Walked as close to the subjects as from here to the middle of that pew. I was in charge of traffic control that night. And I stood and I watched the minister aid to that young lady. She was 18 years of age, a student at Tennessee Tech University. She attended the Church of Christ in another county. And she was not a Christian. 3 minutes past midnight, we lifted that young lady into an AeroVac medevac helicopter. I told my partner, I said, she looks like she's more dead than alive. The next Monday, this article came out in the newspaper. People say, what a tragedy. No, it's not a tragedy. Well, that's a tragedy of alcohol. No, it isn't. The tragedy is she didn't have to die. But she did because of drugs. The young man who was driving when the first unit arrived on the scene was down in a ravine. The truck had flipped 2 or 3 times, landed on his top, and slid into a guardrail. And he was coming up out of the ravine. So they went down in the ravine to find out what was he doing down there. He wasn't thrown down there. He got out of the truck. He had one of his passengers whose head was lacerated and he was covered with blood. The young lady was lying on the pavement. He grabbed the beer out of the cab of the truck, which was on its top, took down to the ravine to hide it. But more important to him to hide that beer, it was to take care of his friends who were lying, bleeding, and hurt. I'll tell you something. That's what alcohol will do for you. 4 hours later, another man was killed. I can go on. I have stacks of these that came out of the newspaper. If you save them, you can have them too. Whiskey causes crimes, according to the suspect. For fun rate, net 65, 95 years. I was making a drug presentation to a 7th grade, and they said, did you hear about and call a young lady's name? She was in the 7th grade, 13 years old. She'd been killed the weekend before. Man met her on the, she and her family on the wrong side of the road. She and her father died in that automobile accident. Young people, read your newspaper. Save your clippings. That's what alcohol will do for you. But one point, and this is the only point I have time to make. I hear brethren everywhere, and I'm amazed. I hear brethren everywhere talking about, well, preacher, I realize that the abuse of alcohol, drunkenness is a sin. But nowhere does the Bible condemn a man taking cold beer on July the 4th while he's mowing his yard. Yes, I want to give that passage to you. I want you to write it down. The passage is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. And this covers your toddies and your beer and everything else. Here's what it says. While the times past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles, to have walked in lasciviousness, lust, wine-bibbings, revelings, and carousing, and abominable idolatries. 3 words in here you need to study. Wine-bibbings, revelings, and carousings. Get your dictionary. Get some material on it. And you'll find that these three words cover what we call the social drink to the down in the gutter drunk. The Bible says that the Christian cannot drink alcohol for recreational purposes, period.